Do a 3-2-1. That'll help.
No, I forgot how you and start.
No, Chuck, you know how that goes.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's
5,
true.
5, 6, 7, 8. No. Welcome to the Mech Show. Yeah, we have another week where I have to, or I offered to jump in. I didn't have to, but I offered to. Ewan has some like family things that came up. So he might be out this week, next week, maybe a little bit longer. But yeah, until then, we're going to still do our thing, I thought. So that's what we're going to do. And for that, I have a really cool panel today. I'm kind of happy that this all came together like last second. Starting us off top left, we have Chuck. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Patrice. I'm glad this came together too. I was starting to miss it.
Yeah, me too. Like, and there is actually stuff we can talk about this week, so that's kind of nice. How's the whole, like, we're going to talk about that in a second anyway. Like, how's the whole, like, I don't want to call it kerfuffle, but like how the whole like, protest and everything. How's that going in like your area?
In my area, you know, there's some protests, but you know they really, since I live in a state capital, you know, they're always protests. They're always protesting something, you know. So and after a while, it's just like, you know, yeah, one more thing. This is a bigger deal, you know, of course.
Definitely is.
But, you know, it's not, definitely not like some of the things you see on the mainstream news media. You know, things here have been, for the most part, pretty peaceful.
That is pretty good. No weapons, though?
Like, you mean, do I have weapons? Or
no,
they
like
have
the
weapons,
people,
or?
The people like at the state capitol.
Well, I'm sure somebody has weapons, but no, there has been no exchange of fire. Let's put it that
awesome.
Way. At least, at least as far as I know, nothing has been publicized.
Yeah, that's good. Like, I mean, at least something. All right. Next to him, we have Callum. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I'm okay. Busy week at IMM Max again. We actually had an iPhone come in today that had been ran over. So first time I've seen one of those. I will send some pictures actually, a before and after, probably next week when hopefully we'll have fixed it. But I've never seen one quite that battered. But
wow.
Yeah, an interesting one this week, definitely.
Yes, that sounds pretty cool. I'm looking forward to those pictures.
Definitely, we'll try and get them on the show.
We'll see. Okay, then next to him we have Jeff Gamet, and from you, I mean, as always, we want the we want the zoo report from Boulder. what animals have you added this week?
We haven't added anything new. We haven't talked about the deer yet, though.
No.
And the deer are really appreciating all of the gardens that everyone have been planting. And I will say we have seen fewer deer recently than we typically would this time of year, which tells me that the mountain lions are probably eating well.
Oh, yes. They definitely are. Yeah, it's like, I mean, those deer gotta eat, right?
That's true. Everyone has to eat.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just trying to think, like, what could you cook out of deer and mountain lion? You should come up with something.
The deer part is easy. The mountain lion would be a little weird.
That's true. Yeah. Deer might be easier.
maybe a stew.
Oh, like, yeah. Something like that.
or chili.
Oh, yeah. Deer and mountain lion chili. That's an idea. Yeah, you should. There will be a Boulder cookbook soon, and that will be part of it, I guess.
Just hope you don't have a lion shortage.
Yeah. Why don't you just run out and get a mountain lion for Patrice to experiment with?
Oh, that's an idea.
Yeah, yes. The neighborhood is my pantry.
Why not?
On the next Foodie Flashback podcast, mountain lion.
That's
the operating system and a lovely sandwich.
All rolled up into one.
That's wow. So cool. All right. And you heard the lovely voice of Doc Rock early in the morning, really early in the morning.
Yes, it is. Here's the reason why my voice sounds like such.
Doesn't how sound you doing? That different. Oh, I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm holding up. It's been a lot. It's been a long week.
It's
been crazy. But you know, if anything, you know, not to, we always tend to shy away from these things, and that's the hard part of the conversation to me, because like it's no fun for me to shy away from it. You know what I mean? When I shy away from it, I feel like I'm being a coward, because it's up to me to say I have a platform. You know, it's not super deep, but you know, I have about 5,000 followers on all of the platforms that I have. So I do feel that I should say something, you know, rather than say nothing. And I can say that I've been blessed because I have you lot, you know, and my friends in tech. So I've always used tech sort of as a place to hide out, because nobody really bothers me in tech. But then when I'm not streaming or not on YouTube or not editing in my studio, I still got to get in my car. I still got to drive places. You know, I still have to have people walk across the street or grab their purse or do weird crap when I walk by. And so I can only pretend it doesn't exist, you know, by hanging out with you guys, which is why I do it so much, because it's a good place to hide. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that for whatever reason feel ostracized for whatever reason, and the silos that you keep like hiding out in tech is a good place to hide. Tech is a good place to hide for all sort of people that feel marginalized, because marginalized people tend to hide in tech. It's a good spot, you know. So if anything, I can say I'm thankful that I have you guys as my friends. I can say that, you know, I love being able to do this for over 10 years. And like Ewan and the rest of you guys have always just been on point. So, you know, that's why yesterday I found that picture of me and Ken from Macworld from like 2014 and just posted "Cooler Heads Will Prevail," because if nothing else, Ken and I are just both bald. We don't see each other any other way than just two bald guys that know a lot of crap about Mac stuff. One of us knows a lot of crap about Mac stuff. The other one talks a lot of smack.
You could decide which one is up.
We love Ken anyhow.
Yeah, I was trying to say, Ken. And he's from Buffalo. So yeah, anyway, you know, mostly I love you guys and thank you guys for giving me a space to hide out in. And you know, if anything, I think something positive will come out of this. I honestly do.
I hope so too.
I could be wrong, but you know, whatever. If anything else, we still got us. So yeah, the hell with them.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it doesn't really matter how big the platform is. Like everybody and anybody can speak up, and everybody should speak up, to be honest, because it is an issue that is everywhere. And like it even exists in tech. I mean, it might not look like it, but like it is everywhere.
No, definitely. It's just lesser here. So it feels better.
Yeah, definitely. And that kind of leads into the first story that I wanted to talk about, which is the open letter that Tim Cook put on the website about this, titled "Speaking Up on Racism." And I mean, he has spoken up on a couple of issues, but usually, like, he's not the Steve Jobs type that like writes open letters and puts them on the website like whenever something really bothers him. Usually, he's pretty calm and quiet, and it was important, I think, that he did that, and some people were also asking for it, but I think he would have done it anyway. But it is a really good letter. Like, I mean, he is very good at talking about like different difficult stuff like this, without being like without being Steve Jobs, to be honest.
I think Tim comes from a position that's a little bit different because he understands being marginalized. You know, growing up as a gay man in his part of the country was not a good look.
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that he personally, never mind the corporation or whatever, I think he personally just understands better. So I think he can come off with a deeper statement from personal experience, you know, especially, I think, I mean, for the most part, as far as we know of, like he hid inside his own self until after he became CEO. Right. I mean, if I remember correctly, I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So I think he understands.
Yeah. And I mean, he wrote like, At Apple, our mission has been and always will be to create technology that empowers people to change the world for the better. And I think ultimately that's what they're trying to do. I mean, you can be as cynical about it as you want, but they're showing. And he says, we must do more. We commit to continuing our work to bring critical resources and technology to underserved school systems, which I think is a big issue. We commit to continuing to fight the forces of environmental injustice, like climate change, which disproportionately harm Black communities and other communities of color. I said this letter, like, they're so it's actually rather short, but it's very much on point. Like, with like a couple of sentences, like he like dishes it out and he says, okay, this is where we can do more. This is where we stand as Apple.
I like that Tim addressed the the notion of. Of going back to normal, because there's so many people, and from what I'm seeing, there's so many white people that mm-hmm. are saying, I can't wait till we can get back to normal. And for part of it, they're talking about COVID, mm-hmm. but they're also talking about the protests that we're seeing in the United States right now. Well, and now in other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what those people are really saying is, I can't wait until I can get back to my routine that I had before, where I went to my hairdresser, where I went and got my massage, and hung out at the coffee shop with my friends, and there weren't people out in the streets fighting to get equal rights for everyone,
mm-hmm.
and especially right now, calling out the fact that we've had centuries of racial injustice and oppression of Black people, and they want to go back to what they had before. And Tim, in like three words, calls that out and says, no, that's not the normal we need to go back to. We need to have a new normal. And he's absolutely right. The normal that we had has led us to the point that we are today, where we're seeing police brutalize people and do things that if they were in the military, they would end up with a court martial mm-hmm. and in jail for doing what they're doing. So good on Tim for saying,
yeah,
we need a different normal, not the normal that we had. But we need to make sure that the normal we get is much better.
Yeah.
Normal's no good anymore. I think that's spot on, to be honest. I mean, we had it over here. I didn't know, but the kind of route that I was walking back to the train station yesterday happened to be the spot where they were having a huge protest yesterday. So I was walking through and I was looking around, and oh, it seems a bit busier than normal, especially lately because of COVID. It's all been very, very quiet. And I've walked through and there was thousands and thousands of people there, and I thought it was fantastic. Obviously, social distancing, you know, it's not ideal, but I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And it was all people stood there clapping and all very peaceful, but they're all saying normal's no good anymore, which I think is spot on. And I've just had a quick read of the letter. I think that's echoed in that very, very well as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was one of the things that probably drove me the most crazy this week, just from being a learned man, is how many people would have almost a glib statement like, oh, what? So we're not doing COVID-19 anymore. Oh, what? COVID's not that big a deal anymore. Oh, what? You know, COVID is cured now because everyone's out there protesting and all stuff. No, a-hole. It's so important that people are willing to take a chance on getting a virus that you may or may not recover from in order to stand up for what's right.
Yeah. How about look at it that way instead of being cynical and thinking like, you know, plandemic or some other kind of insanity BS that everybody's spouting. I mean, like, this issue is so important. People are willing to A, die at the hands of police about it, or, you know, defense systems that our fearless leader has put out, or they're willing to catch a deadly virus over it because it's that important. Like, that's what it's about. Like, don't say dumb stuff like that. That's super, that's super irritating. So I, again, it's hard because in, we know from a technology standpoint, we know better. We know that there are bots that will purposely put stories in front of us that will match what we think. And we know how to check those bots. And we also know how to look at the byline and go that this is a weird news source. Or we know how to type in Snopes, or we know how to check PolitiFact or a bunch of other fact checkers. But a lot of my friends who are actually intelligent people, they don't know how to do that. You know, they don't even remember that 2016, we got purposely fed misinformation campaign from Cambridge Analytica. And Cambridge Analytica, as a tech company, quote unquote, misusing their lovely powers of tech, they went as far as to flame like BLA movement on the positive side by saying like, look, cops did this, cops did that, cops did that. And they were posting old articles from stuff that happened. And yes, it happened. But at the time, in context, in 2016, all it was doing was making people more angry so that the protests would become violent. And then they can say, see, BLM sucks. You know what I mean? So like they were really doing damage. And once people realized that that was possibility, and even though we squashed Cambridge Analytica, don't think that the eight other Cambridge Analyticas didn't pop up. You know, and you can just tell by the number of bots that try to follow me in the past week as I was posting, you know, socially conscious stuff, you know, but again, I know how to tell a bot's a bot. Most people, you know, sitting in this table do, but the general public does not. And it's, yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's super crazy. So I appreciate, you know, Tim doing what he did. And I appreciate us even taking the time in the show that's normally positive to talk about this, because I appreciate it from you guys.
Yeah. Hey Doc, that may be something, if I can be so bold, that might be a great piece for you to publish, is how to tell what is a bot and what isn't for the people that don't know.
True.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I just gave you some content.
It would be awesome.
It's true, because I've been trying to help people figure this out, but I guess, yeah, you're correct. Yeah. And it doesn't help that the algorithms are so crazy, and you know, Suck is making a mint off of this. So he'll come out and make a statement, but he's making a mint because they're spending money.
That's true. You know?
Election year, they're spending money. It started even before anything happened. Like since the beginning of COVID, they were spending money.
Yeah, one of the most powerful sentences in this open letter is, and I want to quote that. To create change, we have to re-examine our own views and actions in light of pain that is deeply felt but too often ignored. Issues of human dignity will not abide standing on the sidelines. To the Black community, we see you. You matter, and your lives matter. Sorry. I think this alone, I mean, this said, it's short, but...
You can sum up feel that letter in a sentence. Yeah,
yeah, it kind of is, and it's also, you can feel the emotion behind it, and to feel what, like, that he really believes in that.
Yes, this is a very powerful letter.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to read it in total, head over to apple.com. I think it's linked on the. I didn't even check.
It's still linked. Homepage.
Yeah. It is still their homepage. If not, Speaking Up on Racism is the title. So we'll just find it. Okay. Yeah, let's move on to the tech part. I think it was important that we talked about it, so I wanted to put it at the beginning. Usually we don't do politics, or very rarely, but I think this is different. And yeah, we should talk
about
it.
Thank you, Patrice.
All right. Apple has released a new beta version of iOS. Surprisingly, there's a new feature in it, even though there is WWDC is coming up in, what was it, like 2 weeks? 3 weeks, something like that. It's very short.
It's like, close. It's very close.
End of the month. I think the 22nd. There's a new feature in there. Apple News Plus Audio. It's in beta right now. Also, it's in the iOS beta. But the idea is that you can, there's a new audio tab in the news app, and you, yeah, you will be able to, yeah, consume news articles that were read. Apple is asking publishers right now for permission to that, but yeah, it's gonna be very interesting to see. I think it's also, for me, it's also a play on accessibility, because not everybody, yeah, is able to read. Like whether you have like a learning disability, or you're like, you have some other issues.
Visual acuities.
Yeah, visual acuities. There are so many reasons. I mean, even me, like, honestly, I prefer a lot of times, like when I'm on the go, I prefer podcasts and audiobooks, because they're just easier to read when you're outside walking.
I was going to say, I often prefer an audiobook or listening to something rather than sitting there reading. So.
Yeah, my Audible subscription started in 2004. How crazy is that?
That is a long time.
Wow.
16 years.
It's the one subscription that has remained throughout the entirety of tech. I've been in tech longer than 2004, but I've never canceled it. I've never, because I have so many books in my library and I love Audible. And I was going to say before you brought it up, but she's it's one of those things where it might start out as an accessibility feature that we all will use, because I still use the speech to text to speech a lot, you know, and I remember that from like System 7.5 or whatever when it first came out. Like, that was so cool to be able to just take this homework paper that I got from my teacher, and then I would scan it in, and then I would just say speak, and then I'd walk around my house and roll a joint, be honest.
It's all about priorities.
Yeah.
And listen to whatever, like, you know, documents that I had to read for school. I would put it in the old SE and tell it to read it, and it sounded like crap, but it was cool at the time, you know.
If I can toss a semi-plug in there, there's an app called VoiceDream that is an ebook document reader. And I had the developer on the show talking about it. And it had a lot of features I hadn't thought about. But one of the key things he pointed out was that students are using it, because there's so much reading that they have to do now. Mm-hmm. If they can drop things into VoiceDream, not only can they, you know, take it with them and read it when they want, but they can also listen to it as well in a variety of voices, like, you know, the Mac has, and they have some custom voices available. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things that, you know, now you can't take an Audible book and drop it in, because unless you remove the DRM, but, you know, at the same time, it's just, I've been using it for a while. That's one reason I wanted to have him on the show. And I learned so many things about what it did that I didn't even know. I was just using it as a book reader. But yeah, it's fantastic, fantastic app.
Nice. A long time ago, I started out with a Ghost Reader, but I'll check out this Voice Stream thing too, because Ghost Reader, if I remember correctly, has slowed down its sort of development. So it's cool.
Yeah. What's interesting is this will only be available, or like in full at least, only be available to Apple News Plus subscribers. So you will get that for your $9.99 that you're paying, if you're paying right now. Non-subscribers will only get snippets of audio, whatever that means. So I'm guessing short bites.
Probably like an intro.
Like the intro part of the article or something like that. Yeah.
Well good. So they're doing something that's helpful and useful, and at the same time adding value to the subscription.
Yeah, because I mean, so far hasn't been that great. I think they're also making it more attractive to like content producers, like all the media outlets. at least I would say it, because I mean, so far the value for them has been fairly limited. I mean, we've heard a couple of times that the subscription numbers weren't that great. The revenue wasn't, or the subscription numbers were okay, but the revenue wasn't great, simply because it was still a fairly low number. And like, if they can attract more people to the service, then yeah, everybody's going to benefit. And it sounds like Apple is going to take care of the production of it. So I don't know how they're going to do that. But it seems like, from at least from the article, it seems like actually Apple is going to produce it.
Cool. Maybe that's why they were asking everyone for permission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it says here. Apple is asking publishers for permission to produce audio versions. So, I mean, I'm guessing it will not happen for, I don't know, some unknown blog somewhere. like, I'm blanking on anything I could mention. Like, maybe Engadget even. It's not that big these days. But I would guess for, like, the big, like, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, whatever, if they agree, Apple would do that.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It would be really interesting. I can't wait to see what happens. I like some of the plays that are going on just in making it easier to consume media.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, even something as simple as Apple TV Plus. I still cannot say that. Like, why? Because when I think of Apple TV, I think of that thing that's like, yep, Velcro to my wall right there. They've been putting out some heat on Apple TV Plus. This was some really good shows. I'm in the middle of Defending Jacob. And man, it's actually a good show. You know, I was like, I don't know if I want to watch Captain America try to be not Captain America, but it's good. It's really good. I don't want to tell you the plot or whatever because it twists really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
One with Jesse from Breaking Bad, or Aaron Paul as he goes by, and Octavia was also pretty good. As we know, Morning Show was incredible. The Pride show called
Out on the Street or something.
No. In question. No, that's not it. Oh, now I got to turn on the Apple TV. Patrice, you're the one that told me to watch it, and I watched it was incredible. It's super incredible. So I have to give them credit because we all like, come on, Apple. Do you really want to start a network? Do you know what you're talking about? You know, can you do this? Like, I think all of us kind of like questioned
out on television.
There we go. We all questioned their capability for a hot minute, and they're doing a good job. They're not fast at all. You know, they're not putting out a bunch of junk, which is also good because it means that they're actually taking time to curate stuff, which is again impressive because they could just let's fill up the coffers as fast as possible, which is sort of what Netflix did in the beginning. They just put anything and everything, like you can get pizza eating zombies on discs into your house. But now you know that they're an established media delivery company, like even the stuff that they produce on their own, the stuff that Amazon's producing on their own is really incredible stuff. You know, like there's some super fantastic shows that these guys are producing now. So I just say I appreciate what Apple's doing in media. And if this is another twist that gets them, you know, even further along, I'll take it. Even Arcade has had some really cool gems. And I like having a subscription because I can just play it and then, okay, I'm over it and done.
Yeah, exactly. That will be interesting. Yeah.
And you said it well, Doc. You know, they, even though you just kind of rolled right over it, but they aren't producing junk. They aren't stacking up junk there. You know, they're taking a very Apple approach to it. Very, you know, on their time, very measured. But when they deliver it, you know, if it's something that you're going to like, you're really going to like it. So I do. Yeah, I'm with you. I want to see the Foundation series come out, and I know that's been delayed. And you know, there's some series that I just have no interest in, but the ones that I've watched, I've pretty much 100% enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chuck, if you were interested in all of the series, and let me couch this by saying this is not a slam in any way. if you were interested in all of these series that Apple has coming out, then I would be worried. So now you see why I gave the preface. But anyhow, the reason I would be worried would be because that would mean that that the diversity of the programming isn't wide enough to hit a much larger audience. If I was interested in every single show that was on Apple TV, that to me would be a big concern as well.
Yeah,
because there should be a wide enough range of programs that there's things to interest a much larger group, which means that there are parts of the group that won't have an interest in a specific show or set of shows. Mm-hmm. So you saying that you're not interested in all of the shows that Apple TV has, to me, is a really good thing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Jeff, I hadn't looked at that, but that is a very, very good point.
Yeah.
You know, because you're right, there is something there for everybody, but everything is not for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, and you know Chuck rocks out to the Beastie Boys story.
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't gotten to that, but that'll be on there. That's on my list, Doc. Yeah.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, no, but that's the kind of thing I would very much forgive me, because see, this is how little I was interested in it, and I know people have been raving about it. But what was the fictionalized version of the young poet's life?
Dickinson.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you know, I looked at it and it's like, sorry, you know, it doesn't catch me. Not even close. And yet I've heard people rave about it, but I still don't have any interest in going to see it. See, that's great. There you go. You know, different interest. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather watch the Beastie Boys.
Mm-hmm. I watched C, the Jason Momoa one. Mm-hmm. And like, it wasn't my favorite, but Jason's from here. I know Jason, he's a friend. So I was like, I'm going to watch it anyway, just to support my homie. And that one wasn't the greatest, but that was one of the first. So that's why I watched it. But then, you know, since then, there's other big good stuff. Servant, M. Night Shyamalan, he's such a hit or miss guy. You know, some of his stuff is like, oh, man, that was in provocative. And other stuff, I'm like, what? So not to sound like Brit from Crime Junkies, but wait, what? And then... you know, I have my niece watching Helpsters, which I think is a very interesting show, because we had Sesame Street growing up. Sesame Street was live when we were growing up, you know. And yeah, so they're getting good. And again, I'm just happy that they're just not throwing random junk. You know, I'm glad that they're taking their time and they're putting out, you know, heat, so to speak. Yeah.
And like that actually like ties into the next story that I wanted to talk about, because today Apple has released a new series. It's called Dear. It's based on, or so Dear dot dot dot, not the animals that Jeff has in his backyard.
Not many more.
It's based actually on a ad that Apple did a while back, Apple Watch ad. It's a biographical documentary series. That profiles famous figures through letters sent to them by people whose lives have been impacted and changed through their work. And the lineup is actually very impressive. I mean, there's Oprah. There's There's Gloria Steinem. There's Spike Lee.
Of course.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. Yara Shahidi. Stevie Wonder. Ellie Raisman. Misty Copeland, Big Bird, and then it just says, and more. So I guess we have to watch to see who the others
are. Why did they link someone as elegant and flowing as Misty Cohen and put her right next to Big Bird? Move.
Well, I mean, this is the article here on Mac Rumors.
No, I'm just laughing. that would be the polar opposites of Styling Grace and Big Bird. That's super funny.
It does drive home the fact that there's a lot of diversity in who they're covering.
Well, I'm definitely on the Big Bird scale. Let's just get that straight. Like, I don't know if I can do a pirouette or a pentaforte or whatever they call it. You know, one thing that's been super cool too, Patrice, is again, I don't know if this has been factualized or rumored yet, but the idea of Apple pulling in Amazon team in order to help put some sports up in there. And mm-hmm. I know I'm a sports ball person, and as Kelly calls it. I think it's real interesting that they are definitely, you know, working on their play. They're mm-hmm. really not sitting on this. They're putting in some heat. So yeah. I'll be interested to see what they come up with in their licensing. Because as you know, last year, Amazon got licensing to play NFL games mm-hmm. from the Thursday, Monday series, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. So, hopefully they'll pull in some from Premier League. As Patrice was asking us yesterday, what is this mm-hmm. logo? It's Premier League, Patrice.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what kind of sport would they have on there? That'd be quite interesting.
And right now, it's marble racing, and I catch myself watching it. Yes. Don't get it twisted.
Yes. Marble racing. I am with you.
Isn't it crazy? It's so good. So this guy was making fun of there's no sports, okay? And so he does these things. It started on TikTok, if I think I'm correct. It started on TikTok, and so what him and his friends would do is set these elaborate courses up in the backyard, and they drop the marbles, and they do the high-speed play-by-play, mm-hmm. and each marble has a name, and they're saying it as it's going through the stuff. Super hilarious, because as a kid on the East Coast, we did this in the fall with the rainwater and the leaves up against the curb, right? We would put bottle caps, and we'd go like a good three blocks before it goes into mm-hmm. the what do you call that crack in the ground? The sewer.
Down into the storm drain.
Yeah. Storm drain. There we go. And so we used to race bottle caps when we were kids because we were poor and street in the East Coast, it's always wet and the leaves are stuck there. But mm-hmm. this guy made these incredible videos of marble racing, and he has millions of followers now. And it all mm-hmm. happened during the pandemic. Uh-huh. And he's like, everybody's just coming around the side of there. Oh, he gets stuck on a duct tape. It's awesome. You have to watch it, and it's intriguing. And he has people watching live marble racing now. It's insane.
Yeah, I saw one.
Think what would be better, that or football? It's probably going to be that, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. I'm just looking it up. This
it is the coolest thing.
Yeah,
this is very strange.
Yeah, I've seen a video. but Apple has already licensed the first content. So the first back catalog, yeah. I'm trying to remember the name of the show. They're basically producing a new version or remake or something of a show. Might have to look that up in a second. And they licensed the entire back catalog. So it's already available. I have to look it up. I don't remember what it was. I just remember Mecco's Ken talking about it.
Oh, they got college sports. They're putting in some college sports.
That wasn't That's it. Cool. Like it was. Let's see. Apple back catalog. This is great podcast, by the way. Someone googling something.
Hey, that's how it's done, man. We're in a new world. We're teaching folks how to check articles before you yip off at the mouth. We're doing a good service, and we're amazing, Chuck, with marble racing. Look at his face.
I'm fascinated. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm completely distracted. It's like, you know. Have you guys watched any of the drone racing?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, now that to me is compelling. I don't know why, but it is. And it that's is. Something that I would think that, you know, could be done virtually. But I would watch that. I'm not sure about the marble racing.
Drone racing got me because I got a drone for Christmas like 2 years ago, and I hashtag fly it. But then when COVID happened and ESPN was playing drone racing a lot, I was like, I can't fly. I'm not even close.
Yeah.
I was like, this is incredible. I almost thought about building a racing drone just because, and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. The show is, by the way, Fraggle Rock.
Fraggle Rock?
Yeah, Fraggle Rock.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Yo. I am in.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were kids. That was the bomb.
Yeah. And they're rebooting it. They in partnership with the Jim Henson Company. So
nice.
Yeah. That's why they acquired the entire, I think, all past seasons. And I think it has already been released. I'm not 100% sure.
I've just had a quick look as well. Sorry to interrupt. There is a live marble race on YouTube in 60 minutes.
We better hurry up then.
Yeah, sponsored by Cravendale Milk. massive.
If you hurry, Patrice, maybe you can get the rebroadcast rights.
Wait, are you serious? Is an actual like UK milk company?
Yeah, Cravendale. Yeah, like probably the biggest branded milk in the UK. Sponsors what? Marble Racing. I'll put the link in. Hold on.
Civilization has come to an end.
Yes, that's what the pandemic does.
Dude, when they start busting guys for cheating marbles. Like injecting an extra injecting like a little extra epoxy in the corner, like steroids, like so this marble's name is Barry Bonds.
you know it's going to happen. Someone's going to try to figure out how to cheat at the game and not get caught.
Had it over here. When England played Australia in the cricket, they were using sandpaper on the ball to make it go in strange directions and stuff. You're going to get things like that, but with marbles.
Whoa, this is so crazy. Jelly's Marble Racing, sponsored by the milk. that's too funny. They literally have amazing logos and everything. Marble League. Dun, dun, dun. That's funny. Yep. June 6, 2020, Marble Race 3. Live on YouTube. This is hilarious, people.
By the way, if you listeners want to find all the links to this, to everything we're talking about,
for whatever reason,
head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to the 5th of May, of June already. Already in June.
And those of you guys listening on audio only, take some time to go to the website and scroll to the timestamp now and just look at Chuck's face. I'm telling you, Chuck is one of the smartest, most put-together gentlemen in the entire tech industry, and I broke him. He is staring at marbles right now like a lost man.
this is fascinating. It's
Cravendale milk tastes like.
Chuck, seeing you just look at your screen with your mouth agape, because you are so lost.
I just when you think you really have seen and heard and have experienced just about everything, you know, then somebody comes up with marble racing and it's like, this is like the Pet Rock. Why didn't I think of this?
Yes. Yeah. Well, only because we are of the vintage where we actually went and bought marbles and played with them. Most up until recently, I didn't think anybody even knew what it was other than the floor. You know what I'm
saying? That may be the case, Doc. Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah. Like, and then after we grew out of them, they went into the slingshot and then you would, you know, pew, break stuff with it. But yeah, like I literally played with marbles as a kid. So this is weird to me, but it's interesting. That's so funny. All right. On top of plus, Marble Racing by Cravendale Milk. Dun, dun, dun.
So Doc, did you ever set up Hot Wheels tracks for the marbles?
Yes, always. The orange Same. Put together with the little popsicle stick thing that stuck the orange track together. Yes, yep. sir.
Yep.
The one thing I remember bad about Hot Wheels tracks is they were great weapons for parental units. So I had my Hot Wheels track all set up.
Yeah.
And then I got in trouble because my friend Roger said, oh, we don't have to go to school today. We can just go to the swimming pool. And I was like, are you sure? And Roger was like, yeah. And I didn't fact check, you know, because I was 8. So went to the pool and we had a good old time and come strolling in the house, peanut butter and jelly sandwich in tow. And then that Hot Wheel track came straight across my butt. Why you didn't go to school today? Roger said, well, Roger said, running the street, are you going to do it? Yeah. So Roger Bullard, if you're listening, jerk. I caught Hot Wheel track to the butt several occasions once my mom figured out it made an awesome weapon.
I think we have a show title.
let me do that. Roger, let me Google Roger Board and see if we can find it.
Hey, he lives near you now, Chuck, but I talk to him on Facebook all the time. But yeah, the first Hot Wheels track to the butt was probably his fault.
One of the world's best marble races.
Okay. Apple is rumored to basically release a new iPad Air that is very close to the iPad Pro. It's gonna ditch the Lightning port in favor of USB-C. It already has the Apple Pencil, even though it's the old one. Yeah, I mean, is that the right direction for the iPad Air? Is that, like, does it make sense to basically, like, create a cheaper version of the iPad Pro?
Well, it seems like a natural progression of the product. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And you know, if we look at where the iPhone is today and how features have moved down the line, it makes sense that we'd see the same thing with the iPad. But that also tells me, which is of course no surprise, that whatever is going to be changed in the iPad Pro will be significant enough so that an iPad Air that's basically an iPad Pro will still seem like an iPad Air compared to an iPad Pro.
That is a really good point. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, and I think it makes sense too, because next week, Friday, I have a hard out because I have to go to, Emma is matriculating to a next level private school. And my next level is she's going from fifth to sixth grade. And here we go six, seven, eight, and then 9 through 12, right? So I have to go and pick up her iPad that they're giving her for school and set everything up, you know, for her and teach her some, you know, sort of tech responsibility about using it and things like that. And so the family tasked me to it, as they do. And seeing what they're giving kids in school now, and it's going to be a 10 with a case and a pencil that matches the current 10. And I can see where the Air would have been a better value for, say, a less expensive school. You know what I mean? And and they're very, very prominent here in schools. Like most of the kids here between the ages of say 6th and 10th grade have iPads as their master. If not, it's a Chromebook. So that market is way bigger than, you know, I think most of us assume. It's massive.
Yeah.
And the MMD, what do you call it? Multi-device deployment or
MDM.
MDM. Sorry. Yeah. I think I knew that, but my brain is not working today.
Oh, sorry.
So the ability for them to do the cool deployment stuff that's behind the scenes, and even Jerry's doing some stuff with Jamf right now, setting up a Jamf server in order to deploy stuff at his work, you know, with the airlines and things like that. So, like, I'm quite impressed that where Apple is in the corporate space now compared to what we would have thought of back in the day. And it really impressed that the stuff that they've set up in order to allow these people to actually flourish, and a lot of that isn't advertised because you're not going to see it at the Apple store. Yeah. So unless you're doing the development, the deployment or doing the management, you might not know. But if you dive into apple.com/business and you look at some of the incredible programs that they set up for companies, it's quite amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Most people don't even know about Business Manager, for example, which is like a really, really big and important tool on the business side or even on the school deployment side. There's every year at DubDub, there's a couple of sessions about that, and nobody reports about them, or barely. Nobody hears, or you barely hear anything about them. But those sessions are always very, like, very interesting and very insightful, because you see, sometimes you even see like a future direction for what the consumer space will go into. They started with like multi-user devices in the school, like on the school side, on the business side. And rumors, there are rumors that this is now finally coming to iOS 14. I mean, we'll see, but at least that's the rumor.
Yeah, you remember in like the last two or three Macworlds, like we would always spend one day with Mike Rose. It was like Mike Rose, myself, and Patrice traipsing around the store, catching all of the Casper and James, J-A-I-M-S, however you pronounce them. A couple of the guys that do this deployment stuff, we would run around and just see. And at that time, virtualization through Parallels was kind of a big deal because they were trying to allow people to have Macs in place, but be able to use Windows software. And I don't mean just installing Windows. Like, you could rent Windows for those special tasks without having to go and buy it. That was one of the last big ones that I saw. And so from back then, I was always interested in it, even though I had no need to do so. But it was just fun, you know, helping Mike with his beat and walking around and taking pictures and stuff. And it's good to see how far we've come with that. That bridge company, it's huge.
Yeah, and if they're moving this to USB-C, I mean, that feels like at this point it's almost overdue.
Yeah.
And that opens up a whole new world of peripherals and storage and connectivity that is not proprietary. And so I'm kind of waiting for that. I think that's something we're going to see on all the iPad and iPhones at some point, because it just I mean, I'm sorry, but there's been no advancement to Lightning. There's not been like a Lightning 2 or a Lightning 3. But USB-C continues to progress. So
The
12 rumors do say USB-C, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I try to ignore them, but I think I saw that one.
I
don't know.
You know, I hope that it's Thunderbolt rather than USB-C. I know it costs a little bit more because it's the same port in theory, but when you count the speed, the display capability, the power management, and those are the three big ones, really. Mm. And the interoperability between standards, you have a bunch extra by switching it to Thunderbolt. So I would like it to be a Thunderbolt port.
USB-C on the iPad Air, Thunderbolt 3 on the iPad Pro.
That's one of the
distinctions that you can have.
Yeah, totally.
And that's one where you would move the data because you're doing editing with like LumaFusion or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I did the other day just out of trying, you know, random, hey, here's an idea, let's try. And if you haven't already done so, Callum, you have to try this. So the 16 came in on last week, Monday, and I had to send back the previous unit because it's a lease, and I was going to just plug in my backup hard drive, do the migration assistant and move it over. And I said, you know, I never tried this before, but back in the day, we always did target disk mode. Target disk mode was great, right? Mm-hmm. And it was fast. So I said, well, screw target disk mode. So I took out a Thunderbolt 3 cable that came with, you know, a little tiny guy like this. And I put the two Macs together, Thunderbolt 3 to Thunderbolt 3, open up network, and then put Thunderbolt Bridge, let it do the auto assign, right? Mm-hmm. And then wrote down the address for both books on the piece of paper. And then when I booted it, I said, transfer from another Mac. And it said, oh, do you want to connect to the Wi-Fi? And at the very bottom corner, there's a tiny little writing, or other server. So I opened the other server, and I put in AFP, and the IP address, and it connected via Thunderbolt 3.
Yeah. You know that.
Nice.
You know that target disk mode still works on Thunderbolt? You can reboot the other machine into target disk mode. There's even an option somewhere in system preferences
where it will catch it as a Thunderbolt 3, not as like the USB.
Yes, it will catch it as a Thunderbolt device.
It to connect. So if you have to move large data from one Mac to another Mac, and you don't want to run Migration Assistant, you can actually take a Thunderbolt cable, connect the two together at 40 gigs a second. Yo, it copied an entire MacBook Pro in 6 minutes.
Yeah,
it was stupid fast.
That's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. It was stupid fast.
I found it. It's in System Preferences, Startup Disk, and then there's a button, Target Disk Mode.
Shut up. I didn't know if it would still work like that. So I did it the hard way, but it still worked. It's the same thing, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
But can you run Migrate, or you can run Migrate, because it reads it as a drive. Hello.
It just reads it as a drive then.
It probably would have been faster because there's no system overhead.
Yeah, there's no network overhead. I mean, it's minimal, but probably would have been faster.
Well, shucky dirt. All right. Hey, I hate both of you guys.
This podcast and all, sorry. This podcast and all the other podcasts on the network are supported by TSO Hosts. They're a really, really awesome company that I love working with. All the servers here at BTN are TSO Host servers, and we've had them for a while, and we've had zero issues, like nothing, not a blip. In the, I don't know, 2 or 3 years since we moved over to them, not a blip. They just work day in, day out, do the hard work, like all the streaming and the back catalog of all the shows and the website and like everything we do runs off 2 servers. And that's it, like flawless. What I really like about them is their support. I've watched that a little bit on Twitter where the listeners of BTN, thank you also for that, reach out to TSO Hosts just to tell them like that I like them or because they have an issue. And yeah, the support has been super responsive. Like they reached like almost immediately reached back out to the people, and yeah, tried to be really helpful and tried to solve it, and ultimately did solve it. So that was for me super impressive, because I know some other services that don't do that as well or don't do that at all. So if you're in the market for, I don't know, domain names or like a website. They have some pre-built packages. For example, they have a WordPress package if you want to set up like a nice little blog. They obviously have like physical and virtual servers that you can have. They have quite a range of really good services. Then head over to tsohost.com. And there's an offer code, BTN20, that gives you 20% off everything on tsohost.com. And we're also, obviously, as every week, supported by iMend Max. And they're really good. And since we have Callum here, I can ask him what the Mac of the week is.
Yeah, so the Mac of the week this week, we have a very nice, we actually have a few of these, 13-inch MacBook Pros from 2015. So just before they went over to USB-C. So if you still want to have USB ports, you can do. They're really nice machines. We just got them in actually this morning. Really nice, starting at about $650 as well. So much cheaper than going to buy a new one in the Apple store. And obviously you still get those USB ports as well, if you need and want them.
Yeah, and those are great machines. And really, I mean, solid, yeah. You guys also like repair anything Apple, and even a couple other things. Like we talked about Chromebooks, we talked about Beats headphones, Pixelbooks. Yeah, like if it's a computer or something like it, check it. You can always check in with you, and you will see whether it's doable and what it would cost.
Yeah,
international. Certainly,
yeah. Yeah, ship anywhere. I'm in the Slack room. You can grab my email at the end of the show as well. So yeah. Absolutely anything. We're happy to help any BTNers out. So.
Yeah, awesome. And you can head over to imentmax.com as well, where you will see all the offerings and contact info and everything.
And you get 5% off.
And you get 5% off. Yes, that's also very important. All right. Time for the cool thing. Doc, start us off.
Okay. So what I have here in my possession, I sent you the link, is my little cool thing. This is known as an Aperture MC. So inside here, there is a tiny little light, but it's a very powerful tiny little light. The first thing that I love about it is it's magnetical. See that? I can just stick it on the side of something, right? Put the mic back where it came from. And so that part is cool, but the other thing is cool is this is my phone, this is my light. I can adjust my light from my phone. So when I'm recording and I need more light, I don't have to get up, right? And let's say, you know, apropos for this week, I want to, you know, add a little flavor to it. I have colors that I can pull off, you know, any many myriad of colors. You can do cool effects like, hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, I'm not home, honey. I'm watching fireworks right now. And then you can just fake fireworks. Or you can tell the lady, oh, sorry, I can't get home because I am, hold on, wait, almost there. why are you late? Oh, sorry, the police pulled me over. It's going to be a minute.
You know, I was going to ask if you could fake the police lights.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you live in a municipal area, you know, because they have different cops. So, nope, that's the state police this time. They got red and blue.
Can you have it alternate between red and blue? So then it's like police in Colorado?
Yeah, right here. Okay, yep, I've been pulled over by the cops this way. And then you got various cycles, so you don't have to, you know, have the same ones like that.
There you go. Like, now you've just nailed Colorado light bars.
I'm like, yeah, I was at the dispensary, and then I was coming out, and they told me to sit down. So I'll be home in a little bit, honey. Sorry. Meanwhile, I'm out drinking with Jeff. So you can do lots of cool, you know, things with this. It has, like, a fireplace. It has... like old school TV, lightning, if you wanted to simulate, you know, like you're cruising in the middle of the country and then you can just press when you want it to trigger, or you can have it randomly trigger, which is kind of cool because then the actor wouldn't necessarily know. But yeah, so it's a really wonderful light. It costs $80 to $90 depending on when you catch it on Amazon. And the battery lasts forever. It's super, super light. And this is something that, whether you're into video shooting like me, which is what I use it for, or even if you just wanted a nice portable light to say stick in your suitcase when you travel so you have some brightness when you need it. And if I put it on white and I put it on bright, and it is dumb bright, and I can control the color temperature all the way up to like massive, you know.
So I was gonna ask you that. Yeah,
you can control, you know, like you want to give a little bit of warm tone or whatever. So this is super incredible. It weighs nothing. It's known as the Aperture MC. They're one of the more fantastic light companies available. Without the phone app, everything I did you can do from the little button here on the side. It's just more fun to do it with the phone because why not. And then it charges by USB-C. So yeah, it's Aperture MC, super cool little light. And if Ewan was here right now, he'd be cursing me out because he'd have to buy it. The other thing it comes with real quick besides the sexy case is it comes with a diffuser, a nice rubber diffuser, silicone, because it is, you know, very bright. So being able to back some of that down by just popping it in this little box right here. And then now you protect it. It's waterproof to a certain extent. Like I wouldn't put it underwater, but it can handle, you know, water because it's designed for shooting. And yeah, it's a great little thing. So if you're looking for something cool like this, just to spice up your image, you know, look how much nicer your image can look rather than just fighting with your room lights or your house lights. So this makes a really good on-camera light for those guys that are using it for like Zoom or whatever. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's it.
That's cool, awesome. Thing. Thank you. Then Jeff, what have you got for us?
I have an app for you for the Mac, and it's also available on SetApp, so nice. That's great. And it's called Batteries for Mac. And what this app does is it keeps track of the charge level on all of your wireless devices. So you can keep track of your iPhone, your iPad, your AirPods. And since it's on your Mac, it'll keep track of your Mac battery charge as well. If you have a Bluetooth keyboard, Bluetooth mouse, whatever, that's all there too. So you can check on the battery level on any of your devices from a single location. And when one of the devices is at a low charge level, it'll give you alerts so you know you need to charge up whatever the thing is. So instead of having to go and pick up my iPads and look and see what charge level they have, or to keep track of my AirPods charge level when I'm on a phone call and sitting at my desk, I can just look in Batteries for Mac and get that information right there. It won't do Apple Pencil because Apple Pencil doesn't pair with your computer. So it has to be something that your computer can talk to directly. But other than that, you know, it'll keep track of the charge level on pretty much anything.
You stole my cool thing, Jeff.
Oh, sorry about that.
It is really good, though. It's very, very good. I do have a backup, but no, it's a really good app. Really, really good.
I didn't even think about the fact that it can just tell you what your level is on stuff without actually being on the stuff. I thought it was the level on the stuff that's on the stuff, not the stuff connected to the stuff. I know what I meant when I said it. I swear to you.
And, could you and map I that get out? What you're saying, and just go download it because you'll be glad you have it.
Okay. I would get added to my stuff.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Chuck, what have you got as a cool thing?
I'll fill in while Callum looks up another cool stuff. So if you've been watching during the show, I've been occasionally glancing over looking at my security camera to make sure that I don't miss the UPS guy, because right now we're headed into Father's Day, which means that everybody's having sales, and I happen to catch what I think is a pretty good one, and I'm going to have 16 terabytes of storage delivered this morning.
Nice.
Two 8 terabyte drives. And so the point here I'm making is these are eSATA drives. They are, you know, they're the large spinning disks, but they've gotten so cheap that it's kind of scary. And if you need just mass storage, or if you want backups, and I'm telling you, folks, you do, because, you know, you have photos, you have videos, family stuff that, you know, in 15 or 20 years, you definitely don't want this stuff to go anywhere. So I prefer the Drobos. I like the Drobos, but that's not my pick, because they're fairly expensive, and you know, you have to invest a bit of money. But if you go and get the OWC Voyager S3 dock, this is one of those little, they call them drive toasters, where, you know, you just take the raw drive, drop it in, and it connects just like it would, you know, any other external hard drive. Pop it out, put another one in, and, you know, you can boot from it, you can do everything. The only small caveat with them right now is that I just finished saying I'm getting 8 terabyte drives. These drives won't work in that, because the Voyager only supports up to 6 terabyte. Mm-hmm. Now think about that, only 6 terabytes. But, you know, the 6 terabyte drives are even cheaper than the 8, and so you can buy one of these docks for like $40 and expand your storage ridiculously cheaply. And, you know, you can have 2 copies, 3 copies of your family photos. It's a classic thing of take your important stuff, put it on one of these raw drives, you know, get a small case for it and take it to your safe deposit box at your bank. And, you know, then you are protected with yet another backup. So the pick, after all that, I want to make sure it's clear, is the Voyager drive. Yeah, I was afraid that was a delivery person. Is the Voyager dock, because it's OWC, of course, does such an amazing job. It is USB 3, so if you, in a pinch, if you needed to, you can boot off of it. You know, in today's world, that would be kind of slow, but still, you can get it done. So go out, but just, you know, for heaven's sake, take advantage of some of the sales out there with the mass storage. And, you know, if you don't have something like a Drobo or a Synology to put them in, the Voyager is the way to go.
We use those constantly at work. We have the dual ones for cloning. So, for example, we do a lot of SSD upgrades for people. So, it's great. You strip the machine down. You take out the old drive. You bung in an SSD as well, and you clone it over. And that just happens in the background. Mm-hmm. I believe you can get one that does support the bigger sizes. I'm not sure on what branding and stuff, but they are really, really useful things to have if you've got a lot of drives and a lot of storage around.
I have one sitting right here with 2 8-gig drives in it, and it's the newest Voyager 4, and what the two 8-gig drives are striped together, and then so it's just I don't leave stuff on there, but I use it to move in data to do some editing, because even though they're spinning discs, when they're striped together I can get them pretty fast. So mm-hmm. It's not 16 gigs there, it's I mean 16 terabytes, it's 8 terabytes because they're doubling. But yeah, it's incredible for the price of that thing, and to be able to get some speed where I can move a bunch of big files around real quick. And also, like Callum said, I use it a lot for cloning people's stuff or doing upgrades and whatnot. And it's an awesome thing. And there is a button, if you choose to use it, that you can say, when I press this button, copy this stuff or back this up. So you can use the button too.
You have to be careful if you're upgrading drives with that when you press the clone button. I did a test with it. I don't know what partition map it uses. I think it varies per one. So if you're doing it for like an SSD upgrade, you're not necessarily going to get the right partition, and it might not boot GUID. And stuff like that. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you know, Doc, I did not know there was one out there that would handle up to the eight terabyte drives or
I think it's just a newer model or just because I bought it recently, this one.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, but the one I recommended, and I specifically picked that one because for general audience, I mean, 6 terabytes, man, is a lot of storage, and the drive itself is like $40. And so, you know, the toaster. The dock is like $40. And so, you know, how do you beat that? But if you need the bigger one, and since there is a bigger one now, Doc, you may have just cost me money. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You managed to get someone, Doc. Well done.
All right. Thank you.
Got him on twice, marbles and ducks.
Yeah.
Right. So my cool thing this week.
Oh, you muted yourself.
The cool thing's a mute switch.
Yeah.
My cool thing's my space bar, which I forgot to use. No, it's an app called Unreplied. It's available on for Mac, and basically it's a slightly smarter way of using your iMessages and text messages. So it basically gives you the facility to kind of mute things, I believe. I haven't been using it for very long, but I do have it. So for example, I get a text message, I want to deal with it later. You can mute it so it pops up a bit later, and it's a nice way to get them organized. It gives you a little button in the bar at the top of your screen, so you can press it and you get a list of all of your messages when they arrived and things like that. So a neat little app. I believe it's couple of dollars or a couple of pounds.
$2. So,
a really neat one, because I don't know about yourselves, but iMessage can be a touch temperamental sometimes, the app itself. So it's a nice little app. I haven't used it very much yet, it's decent for a couple of pounds.
That's a really useful one. How does it work? Like, does it work like on like standard iMessage?
Yeah, it works on standard iMessage. I believe it works for SMS messages as well, which is quite neat. I haven't experimented with that yet. It basically just takes the iMessages and puts them into a nice little interface and whatnot. So
that's
like that in the menu bar. It makes it easy to remember.
Yeah, I like that.
I just got chewed out for not replying to a text message last night, or night before last, excuse me. And so this would have saved me. So thank you, Callum. You just got some money too.
See?
At least it's only £2.
That's also pretty cheap for that.
Did you?
Okay, my cool thing is my Thunderbolt 3 dock. It's like I think it's pretty well known at this point. It is one of the most highly recommended ones or reviewed ones. It's the CalDigit TS3 Plus. Has a really huge number of ports, like I don't know, I think 4 USB, like standard USB ports. It has, I think, 2 USB-C ports, 2 Thunderbolt ports. It has a display port, like a standard Ethernet jack, a optical audio out, SD card reader. I am probably forgetting some stuff. I think it's even 5 USB. There's one on the front I forgot about. I've been using this for a good 2 years now, and it has been one rock solid. It gives you all the connectivity you need. The only thing you have to remember, and I ran into that, is that you use the computer Thunderbolt port to connect to your computer, because otherwise it will not get enough power, because that's the high power port. And the cool thing is, and that's kind of a little bit of a PSA, service announcement thing, if you have one of these already and you have not updated your firmware recently, or like in the last, I don't know, couple of months, I would recommend doing that, because the new, and it's, I know it's crazy to upgrade the firmware for a dock, But they actually do that, and the new firmware provides higher wattage charging for your laptop. So I think previously it was 60 watts, and now they can do up to 87. It also improves compatibility with some USB-C monitors and so on. And it's super easy. Like, it's actually not a big deal. There is a little article on the CalDigit website how to do it. And basically, you just download an installer and then reboot your machine, and that's it. And then it works. The other thing you have to make sure is you use the built-in, like the provided cable. Like, I switched out the cable for some reason, or probably just messed it up when I reassembled everything. And that cable only supported 60 watts, so I was only getting 60 watts even after the upgrade. And then I checked that, and I was like, okay, this is weird. Switched out the cable, now it works. So yeah, it's, as I said, super easy. And the company is, like, to be honest, really good company. Really like their stuff. So yeah, CalDigit TS3 Plus is the way to go. Cool. Then thanks everyone for being here. Chuck, tell people where they can find you.
I will not be watching marble racing. You know, I can,
no,
I will not be on Mac Voices.
No.
But you can find me over at MacVoices.com. That's where we talk to a lot of interesting people about a lot of interesting tech things, and mm-hmm. hopefully you can learn a few things and be entertained as well.
Yeah, and that has been around for almost 15 years, right?
I believe it's October. It will be a 15-year anniversary.
Yeah, I checked for the foodie flashback, and yeah, it's October, 15 years.
Yep.
So big birthday coming up.
Yeah, here's to 15 more.
Yeah, that's true. Callum, tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, so you can get hold of us and everything we do at imnmax.com. You can get hold of us on all the usual socials as well. Drop us an email at info@imnmax as well. I'm in the Slack room, and you can find me on Twitter @OvaraCallum. If you've got any questions, anything you want to ask, you're more than welcome to anyone.
Yeah, I definitely do reach out to you. Thank you. Jeff, how about you? Where can people find you?
Pretty much anywhere, right? I mean, like, do
definitely in Boulder.
I'm in Boulder. Yeah. Look up. Don't let the mountain lions get you. Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut, and on the shows here. Yes, I'm everywhere.
Yeah, you are. And do you have a TextExpander webinar coming up?
There's a TextExpander webinar coming up next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
There was one a couple of days ago on Tuesday. That one was for Teams users. The one next week is for beginners.
Mm-hmm.
There's an advanced user webinar coming up soon. And then, of course, more beginner webinars coming up.
Yeah, that's also, if you want to get started, those are the way to go, I would say. If you have Jeff as your personal TextExpander guru.
Yes, and I'm easy to find.
Yes, that is true. And BTN listeners also still get a 20% off, right?
BTN2020.
BTN2020.
That's the discount code.
Awesome. Thank you. And last, but definitely by no means least, we have Doc Rock. Early morning, early in the morning still.
You can find me all over the internet at DocRock. I'm doing a lot of stuff on YouTube right now with live streams. Live streaming has been fun because as we're doing tech stuff and I'm teaching you things in tech, it's kind of cool to be able to answer the questions on the fly. So I'm exploring the live stream option. And because it requires less editing, let's be honest.
Yeah,
true. It requires a lot less editing. And then so that way, if you put the content out quicker, then you could be like, Cravendale milk. I could be fresher for longer. So come and see me over there. You can come and see me over there. And my next show will be how to set up racing tracks for your marbles, sponsored by Mac Voices.
Okay. You heard it here first.
And the best thing about that is, well, you actually got the milk slogan right. That's fantastic.
Yeah. But Doc, that has to come after the show you do on how to identify bots.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a deal.
Deal. All right. Sounds good.
All right. And you can find me every week here on the Mac Show and on the Big Show. And everything I do, you can find on thepatrice.com. I also have a podcast that I started a couple of weeks ago. We're already almost at 10 episodes by now. Just released the latest one. The podcast is called Foodie Flashback, Food and Memories. And yeah, we talk about like food and how you grew up and like all the stories behind it, like why, like how you started cooking, why you like certain things. And this week's episode is actually with yours truly, Chuck. We talked about some really, really cool stuff. Like I was really impressed with like everything you did. And what I didn't expect is that you said, well, I kind of stopped cooking, or well, I didn't start cooking and then I kind of stopped when I got busy and now I've picked it up again. And like, there was a little story behind that. So if you're interested in that, to hear more about Chuck's adventures almost, yeah, head over to foodieflashback.com. And if you want to be on the show, if you have like podcaster or not, does not matter. I have a good mix of people. Then yeah, ping me on all the socials and everything, wherever you find me, and we'll set something up. And you can find everything, all the shows, on britishtechnetwork.com and also on Twitter at @BritishTech. And with that, this is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening. See you next week.